Our scripture is found not on the back of your bulletin, but at the bottom of the second page. We're focusing on one verse. I will include some other verses as we go, but the verse is from the sixth chapter of Ephesians, and this is from the New International Version, verse 4. Now, if I read it right out of the Bible and the NIV, what I would read there is, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." And I asked Darwin, I said, "Now just put parents there, because that's, I want to speak to all parents." And we understand that in the culture in which they lived, the fathers were the ones that really were in charge of the family. And so that's why Paul wrote it this way. If he were writing it today, "I do not, under any any circumstances, doubt that he would probably put parents." Parents, do not exasperate your children. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. May the Lord bless that reading and of our hearing of it.
Amen.
I chose to take this occasion of the Sunday that we here at Bosqueville have come to highlight as a graduate Sunday. I think maybe your bulletin says at the top of the order of service, Graduate Sunday. But I also took it as a time for focusing on the parents of graduates. And all of us fall into one of those categories. We're either a graduate at some point in our life, or we're the parents of graduates. So this sermon actually is for all of you. First of all, it's for me. I like to reflect, and it's for all of us. And we're very, very fortunate this year to have a wonderful high school graduate who went through all kinds of ceremonies yesterday and did what graduates do on graduation day. They wear themselves out. And so Sheridan is not with us today, but she means so very much to all of us as we've seen her grow through her schooling and through her athletics in the Special Olympics program. And as of right now, bless your heart, Marlene, you did this last year, didn't you? But as of right now, Sheridan is a high school graduate, and she's moving on to new adventures and new meanings in her really bright future. Well, sometimes in past years, we've had a year with several graduates, with our own children graduating ceremonies and recognitions of completing some step in the educational process, graduating from kindergarten to elementary school, then from the first grade graduating after they get into the sixth grade, graduating and moving up to middle school, and then the step up from middle school to high school, and moving on into a new job or later as graduates of technical and trade schools and college and graduate programs. We can celebrate all kinds of graduations, can't we? And it's all good to do that. All of those graduation times are truly major steps in young people's lives, and we need to joyfully celebrate with them and celebrate them. And who is it that's behind all of this? Well, schools, teachers, specific education programs. Well, yes, all of that, but the greatest influence and support and encouragement all along those years of growth and development, it's parents. Home and family, with intimately involved parents, and we believe godly parents as a foundation, That's what is behind, should be the solid rock behind every celebration of those times of graduation. And that's why we have a special, a big special recognition service of worship once a year here to congratulate and to celebrate, and we call it Graduation Sunday. And that's why, out of all of the emphases that I could highlight on a graduate Sunday, I've chosen to focus on the parents, all parents who have ever had a child grow through these series of school graduations, because it is a series. And as with any subject in life, this being the role of parents in the lives of their children, the Holy Scriptures give invaluable guides and goals. The parent-child relationship is one of the most intimate known to mankind. And it is in this relationship that the child receives the love, the affection, the security that he or she needs for good self-esteem and adjustments in life, including the child's life enveloped in his or her education life. Conscientious parents want to do what is right for their children. And as all of you know, either from being a parent or being a child in the care of parents, knowing what to do right can be very challenging at times. So those parents who have their own personal relationship with Christ as Lord of their life find themselves to be the more wise parents when they seek information and guidance from God the Father's inspired word. We know this basic truth. God the Father is the parent who knows all. Thus, the Bible is the best known source that we have for parental guidance. Now, Sue does not like for me to make reference to her in her in my sermons, and I get it bad every time I do this. But she's not here today. And Nashville is far enough away that I don't think she can hear me. So I'll just use this little easy illustration here. You all know that Sue is a great cook. And I live with her. I watch her in the kitchen, and I know her secret. And this is the same secret for, I bet, all of our great cooks here at Boskydale. When Sue wants to cook a dish that comes out just right, she whips out her cookbook and follows the recipe. She goes to her book for instruction, for the right guidance. And that illustrates this prime principle. Parents are full of wisdom and compassion and just plain good sense to look to follow the insightful lessons found in many places in the book, in the scripture, such as our text for today, that one verse from Ephesians 6. Now, as you look at that verse, I'll point out to you, and I just did that already, that I made a change, and I really hope and I think God approves of this idea, beginning that verse 4 with parents instead of fathers. So Ephesians 6:4 instructs parents that they are not to exasperate their children. There's another good translation that says not to provoke children to anger. Put that together. Don't exasperate them. Don't provoke them to anger. It really means the same thing. And of course, that is so easy to do, to exasperate or to make a child angry. You see, children with young growing minds that are beginning into major self-awareness naturally see the correction of a parent as confrontation, as changing what they decided to do. And that may cause anger. That's misplaced, but it's anger. So how does a loving parent avoid that? Well, I don't think you can. But I also don't think that's what this means. What this is a warning against the misuse of power. Unfortunately, to go to the extent of this power play, you would get all the way down to child abuse. And that's utterly inexcusable. That's lawlessness. That, of course, is totally unacceptable, but the actual misuse of power by an adult can be as simple as being unduly hard on a child and unwilling to modify when you see that the child is beginning to react so negatively as to become exasperated or to become angry. And so this passage of Scripture cautions against such parental power misuse, misuse that becomes abuse, if not physical abuse. This is a serious warning to parents against the injustice or severity of that kind of power in any case. The final result of such parental power misuse behavior too often will inevitably make a child move seriously away from obedience and honor of such a parent or even of their family. For instance, one of the dangers parents come face to face with in being overly severe with their children is to fall into a pattern of exercising so much control over them that the children end up hurt and offended. And this type of control says to a child, I do not trust you, nor do I have confidence in you. And it's just hurtful. Well, the normal reaction to such control is that the child loses respect and rebels. There's, I think, also a warning here, as you read into this, against soft or thoughtless casual disapproval, but no more. Something like that will cause a child to come to disrespect parental authority. Verse 1 of Ephesians 6, and I did have verses 1 through 4, but verse 1 is the way to carry out the statement of the fifth of the Ten Commandments, which follows then in verse 2, obedience, and specifically, obedience in the Lord. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says, honor your father and mother. Mm-hmm. A child is spoiled and misguided when there is no corrective discipline for them to obey and for them to know that the correction that you're making is how God would have them to be and do. Mm-hmm. So loving, caring restraint is actually a significant contributor to a child's respect for parental authority. An interesting little story is told of a little girl whose day was just a string of one misbehavior after another. And each time her misbehavior was accompanied by a corresponding scolding, but unfortunately then no corrective suggestion or instruction from her mother. Finally, the little girl sat down, obviously upset with her mother and with herself. And crying, she blurted out, I wish my dad would come home and make me behave. Children need and want parents to show strong but loving, caring authority. In fact, parents can exasperate their children simply by not being authoritative. A church youth director was near and overheard a teenage girl and her mother, and the girl was saying all sorts of ugly, dishonoring things to her mother. When the mother left, the girl turned to the youth director and said, why does my mother let me talk to her like that? So what is the do this as opposed to do not do this? I've been talking about do not exasperate. What do you do? Well, parents should always be on the alert to give encouragement. Failure to do so most often causes insecurities and frustrations in most children. Encouragement needs to be issued in word and in action over both big and little things. And it needs to be done in times of success, even in times of failure. The fact is, virtually any childhood failure has some success or good within it. And the parents should find it and then turn the whole apparent failure into some success the child can see and find encouragement in it. Mm-hmm. This, too, is what parents ought to be looking for, encouraging in the child's experiences, in their movement through the world of education as they move toward what we're celebrating today, reaching the goal of graduation. And one of the best encouragements for any child is some reasonable, not excessive, reward. There is certainly a great opportunity here at this time of graduation. And any reward should be explained as a result of the success that they found and should be offered in love and support. Mm-hmm. I think the best encouragement, the best of rewards parents can give to their children is to raise them, verse 4, in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Many of you are familiar with the expression in older translations, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, it means the same thing. Training or nurture is also translated as discipline, the total training and educational process of children. Education in the widest sense includes the development of mind and character. What is and is not right? Discipline. Discipline by the use of commands and cautions, even sometimes punishment, cultivates the mind and morals, corrects mistakes, and curbs passions. All Christian parents are to seek divine leadership in counseling their children against faults and oversights. Instruction instills virtues by teaching doctrinal beliefs and moral duties. Instruction is also translated as admonition, training and correction by words of encouragement. It's also training and correction by words of reprimand when that's required. A vitally important inclusion in this scripture text for us to absolutely include is that discipline and instruction are to be done in the Lord. Parent-child relationships are incomplete without the Lord as a third partner. Because His Word and His Holy Spirit serve as the guides for raising children. Bring Him in. We're to train our children by teaching them the ways of God. Such things as, well, things we talk about a lot. Daily Bible reading and prayer. Such things like that are the best practice for your family. Always including the children, even from their infancy. I was hearing something about this on the radio just the other day. And it was a godly father who was talking about how he was helping his children to learn about prayer. And he said when they were little babies, they sat in their little, what do you call it, baby container? I don't think that's what you call it. But he would have them right there beside him, experiencing the prayer. And as days went by, it became more and more real. But then, of course, the use of a proper age-level Bible storybooks. And I can tell you from my work at Lifeway, there are many, many very attractive and very good ones. And those can instill in a child a great love and respect for God and His Word. Regular church attendance, extending their school days to Sunday school days, provides children with an extended family of Christian peers and mentors. It'll also build into children a discipline that will make being an active part of a church family a normal and desired thing to do all their lives. So, you know, if there are any babies around these days, this is a good place for them. Having prayer with them, not even knowing what you're saying, is a good thing. These are just some ideas. maybe a church. This church, when we have children to raise here again, maybe we should do more than have a time called Graduation Sunday. Extend that maybe to graduation ceremonies for movement from one Sunday school level to the next. How about that? All the way to a grand commencement day with the parental role of their church family as they finish high school Sunday school group. Well, here's the thing for us to think about as we examine the spiritual role of parents on this special graduation Sunday honoring our great kids. Serving the Lord in any capacity is an awesome responsibility. But to fulfill the role of a parent as presented in this verse of Scripture and the ones that preceded is almost beyond our ability to fully comprehend. Spirit-led parenthood demands a close walk and a constant communion with God. It becomes more and more clear the closer you walk and the more communion you have. And so this calls on each parent to learn from mistakes that we make and grow in knowledge and develop in Christ-likeness. And the good news is, the same Lord who set these high standards for parenthood is our God who also supplies the power and the grace to meet them.
Amen.
And so, take this out of here. Our congratulations to our graduates here, to graduates everywhere, to their parents who have guided and loved them through the various steps to get to these graduation days.
Amen.
And Milton said, Amen.